This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
The final hour of Sharp Money is underway live from Las Vegas and the South Point Sportsbook Studio. Ben Wilson back with you. Mike Somich alongside today. Our producer behind the glass, Dustin Sweetelson, and joining us in studio right now, the Sports Betting Hall of Famer, Vinny Maliulo. It's a Thursday, which means on Sharp Money.
Good to be with you guys.
Boom.
Good to be with you guys. And I wanted to welcome Dustin back from vacation. Apparently, yes. He didn't really have a vacation.
No, look, Vinny, you're a wise man. I come to you for advice every now and then.
Please.
I mean, first of all, I do have a question for you before we do this.
Yeah.
Do you iron your own shirts?
No, I'm not that. I'm not that.
Dry cleaner or?
I'm very fortunate. My wife is responsible.
She does a great job because wow. I thought it was a professional job.
Appreciate that because the reason I don't is sometimes I think I ironed two sleeves. And then when I'm sitting here at the desk and I go like this, for anybody watching right now, I'll go like this and I'll look down at a quarter of my eye. I'm going, you really did the right one twice, didn't you? Because
you just did one.
The other one.
Classic.
I've been there.
Happens to the best of us.
So my vacation, I ended up visiting my friend who then his wife took it as an opportunity to go do things and used me as an additional babysitter to fill in for her. Instead of allowing me and my friend to go do things and gallivant around Washington, D.C., then went and visited my family where my mother was watching my niece and nephew. And to give my 66-year-old mother a break, I opted to help babysit them as well. So I came back from my vacation exhausted and immediately went to the store and bought a big box of condoms.
Well,
the dust wasn't sweet.
Knew that was going somewhere.
Well, there you go. Well, listen. Here's my advice. All right. Again, you wanted advice about the shirts. By the way, starch not in the collar though.
Oh,
no collar.
I would have assumed that's the one spot that needs it.
No, not in the collar.
Speaking of the condoms, to stand straight up.
There you go. Ba-dum-bum. But now everybody has to come to Vegas. You see, that's just it.
Basically.
You know what? They want to see Dustin, the favorite uncle, the best buddy. Okay. Listen, and your buddy, you know, listen, I got to go to Vegas. It's business. We have a lot of conventions here.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what your buddy does. Tell him to pick a convention. And, you know, that's the best, yeah.
Well, you've been here forever. You're a former East Coaster like myself. I need to take advantage of being on the West Coast. My number one spot I need to go on a vacation to is Hawaii. Do you think I should deviate from that plan? Or is there somewhere else I should go based on our proximity over Hawaii?
No, I think have you been yet?
No.
No, go. You have to go. Got I would it. Say, yeah, don't deviate. No,
I mean, San Diego is my go-to out here because it's
well, it's
the
quick
ease,
and it's easy, especially now with Del Mar, right? Mike is a big Del Mar fan.
But he also just came back from Hawaii.
There this weekend. Headed to Del Mar this weekend for a big tournament, Vinny. Tell Dustin to jump on the bus. Join me down there.
Of course. Listen, here's the thing. Mike's onto it. You go from here, you go to Del Mar for a couple of days, and you leave from San Diego right to Hawaii. There it is.
There you go.
That's the trifecta that you really want to hit.
I got to get that Maliulo budget, though, for a vacation.
Yeah, well, listen, then don't take your shirts to the cleaners and let them do it. Just use that money.
You're glad you weren't here yesterday, Vinny, because Dustin was you know, exposing a lot of arm. That's how I'll put it. Yesterday.
The guns. The guns were out.
Yeah, they were
look,
out.
You guys were trying to sweat us out of this studio. It was 120 degrees in here. There was no air conditioning.
I'm in charge of this. I do the numbers. I'm not in charge. Don't let me touch any equipment.
The windows, they looked like the scene in the Titanic. In the car, Kate Winslet's hand going down the condensation.
It was for the record, Amal and I run very cold, and so Amal and I were both just dying yesterday. And I'm like, if that happens, I don't even want to know how bad it is.
That's why you guys got the jackets, you see. Yeah,
we're all good today. We're perfect today, Vinny.
Yeah, you guys probably want to know about a little practice session today with the Bengals. Yeah, guys. So let's walk through, you know, from our perspective, you know, what is done there. Of course, you get the report. You don't want to overreact because we don't know. You want to base things on fact, but in order to base things on fact, you need to. And we're watching. I see the footage now of him hobbling. And, of course, it's his plant leg. But not to overreact, but the business side of it is to first take down the division futures, because it's three other teams that are going to be impacted if he's out for any time at all right? And it impacts it could impact the standings in the division. Then week one of the regular season – So that comes down. Then it's the conference. And then, and by the way, in week one, the Bengals were 2.5-point favorites at Cleveland. So it's obviously, it's a division game as well. So week one slash divisions, the conference, and then the Super Bowl futures. And you say, well, what is it? Well, you just don't know, right? If he's going to be, you don't know if it's a cramp. Looks like it's more than a cramp, but is it a muscle pull? And I don't know if you guys have ever pulled, a calf muscle. I mean, you just, even if you're just sitting and if you move your foot a certain way, if you're driving the car and you're hitting the gas pedal, it's painful. I've done it myself. But I never impacted any futures. But
I'm surprised to hear that.
The other thing is it, Achilles or is it just something that's rather simple and something that a couple of days rest and treatment by the trainers can get rectified. So it's also, for the folks out there that want to know and they want to know, but the futures right now, including week one, the first game of the season at Cleveland, is on hold until we get a reading as to exactly what the situation is with Joe Burrow.
Sure. Are you surprised at all that the majority of books, like you talked about the process here off the board right now, we were just mentioning DraftKings 10.5, which basically dropped Cincinnati purely speculatively, a full win. That's
the regular season wins come down too. You just hold up on it. I mean, again, it's just a precaution because, again, if he's out for a couple of days, then it doesn't impact any of the things that I'm talking about. But to keep them open right now, so if it's a couple of days and you're dropping it a full game, well, then you're just going to go back to. Again, that's not a critique. It's just maybe it's what they – I don't know what they had bet. That's Johnny. A question for Johnny Avello over at DraftKings. But from our perspective, again, it's hold up on everything until we get an absolute answer as to what the situation is.
Now, how has the betting been so far for this NFL season? Have you seen more bets than you've seen in previous years? And when do you expect to really see the futures tickets start to rolling in here on the NFL futures?
Yeah, my good question. It's actually started a little bit now. Since the especially since the Stanley Cup Finals, everybody was so preoccupied with the Golden Knights. And now, we're in summer mode. I think as we get closer to week one, we've actually seen more activity on the first college games than week one, but it's every weekend it picks up a bit because not everybody is going to be here for week one of the NFL season. But every week as folks come through, and again here, tomorrow, tonight's a big arrival night at the airport, Harry Reid Airport, and then this weekend as folks are driving in, they'll take advantage of it. So as we get closer to, every weekend between now and that first weekend, which starting with that Thursday game on September 7th, we'll see increased activity for week one and, of course, the futures as well.
Sure. Well, and also, not only that, we're inside,
regular season wins.
Right.
And things,
we have the Hall of Fame game next weekend, but now we're even closer to college football starting, media days going on this week. So a lot of interesting comments from around the board. You get all the college football teams ready to go now.
Yeah, and in terms of in college football, and again, Chris Andrews and I was just with Chris, director here at the South Point. We were talking about upcoming our games of the year we'll put up, and we're working on those and getting ready to put those up. In terms of the Hall of Fame game with the Browns, that's holding steady 1.5 and 33 Browns over the Jets, so folks will take advantage. The majority of that money is going to come in though next week, day of.
Yeah,
that's when
sure.
That's when folks will play that. That's and it's certainly not going to be anything like the regular season week one games.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, understand that.
Yeah,
Mike, you should have been here last Thursday. The story Vinny told about escaping under the mat at Caesars '89. Oh, great stuff.
Hearns Leonard too. Yeah. Escaped with my shirt was not ironed at the end of that event. In fact, I'm lucky I had a shirt on by the time I got back to the book.
You gotta love the old school Vegas, man. I love the old school Vegas stories. Always some good times to be had. On the future stuff, just a quick question for you: are there any liabilities that are surprising to you? There's the general teams that kind of get bet every single year. Is there any NFL or college team that you're surprised you're taking some action on right now?
Not so much in the college. I think a little bit, and it's kind of been a trend in the last couple of years, Texas, and I don't know if it's, folks thinking, with the hype And with the fact that, you know, that there's always been, you know, some hype with Texas. Texas gets back. So, but not a whole lot there. More so in the NFL, the Raiders, not really surprising in terms of the fact that this has always been a Raider town and it is the hometown team. The Vikings, in fact, let me get my NFL
handy dandy sheets.
My sheets here, and I'll give you the updated prices on these because you know you've got so believe it or not, we had to actually raise the Bills again. If you're going to lower somebody, you have to raise somebody. So we raised the Bills, who we're getting no attention this year compared to last year. We got them up to 12-1. I mentioned the Raiders, who are getting plenty of attention. And, oh, by the way, the Cowboys, a little bit of attention from 12.
I'm stunned to hear the Cowboys are getting back.
down to 10-1. Raiders down to 25 off of the 40-1 opener. The Vikings down to 20-1. And, you know, so they're, but you know what? And again, I know, is there hype with the Jets? You know, but I mean, they're down to 12-1. Everybody's excited about the Jets. Monster schedule, by the way, not just in the division. But the Hard Knocks, oh, the curse, man. Oof.
Will this be the year? You can apply that to Hard Knocks. You could apply it to Texas. A lot of different things. Yep. Always great to see the Sports Betting Hall of Famer.
Good to be with you guys.
And the fight this weekend, too, should bring in some great crowds here into Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, when we return, we'll continue our discussion here on Sharp Money. We talked about all those college football media days. We got some sound, some interesting thoughts to get into as we return after this on VSiN.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. This is the final week to sign up for just $19 at VSiN.com/subscribe. A bit of an audible Omaha, because we have a special guest coming up. We just got it booked for a half hour, speaking of Cincinnati Bengals. So great work, our producer Dustin Sweetelson behind the glass mic. So we'll get some Bengals, a rapid reaction there from training camp in a little bit. The former college and NFL coach Dirk Cutter will join us in 15 minutes to a great Final 45 here on the show, which means we got to get to our plays right now. Let's just do that, Mike, because we only have a couple baseball games to talk about on the slate. I write nothing, by the way. Angels up 5-0 on the Tigers in the bottom of the third. They have outscored Detroit 11-0 across the first 12 innings now, although Detroit will get one back on a RBI groundout. But 11-1 over the first 12 innings of that doubleheader today. Only three games still to go, and the big rivalry is in St. Louis, where the Cubs and Cardinals just played in Wrigley. Now they go back to New Busch Stadium, and it's Jason Steele, who you talked about earlier, Mike, as a dark horse Cy Young candidate, the lefty. He's actually a slightest of dogs against Miles Michaelis and the Cardinals today. Cards at -115 consensus, which was a little surprising to me, even though Steele is on the road here.
Yeah, me too. I expected that the Cubs should be the favorite here. Steele actually 2-0 against the Cardinals so far this year. He's a really interesting pitcher to watch. If you haven't gotten the opportunity to watch Justin Steele, take a minute, check it out. One of the few pitchers in Major League Baseball that is a two-pitch pitcher. He's either throwing A or B. It's one of the two. You got to figure it out. But no one really has been able to. One of the three pitchers in the NL right now with a sub-3 ERA as well. I don't want to play the full game with the Cubs here because the Cardinals have been playing good baseball, and we have seen them be able to come back against bullpens. Cubs bullpen, not as strong as Justin Steele early here. You can get +105, first five with the Chicago Cubs if you shop around. That's where I ended up taking here. Give me the first five Cubs +105. I think you have a massive advantage here on the pitching matchup. I want to back Justin Steele, who, like I said, 2-0 against this Cardinals team so far this year.
Very, very nice. Yes, got to like that spot as well, where the Cubs game below .500, six back in the NL Central. Very interesting week for both the Cubs and Cardinals, for that matter. What will they elect to do, buyers or sellers, and how aggressively will they go in those respective margins? Only two other games for us to just rifle through, Mike. You have the Nationals-Mets going at Citi Field tonight. Kodai Senga goes at home, but is a big favorite over $2. I'm seeing consensus minus 220 for Senga against Josiah Gray and the Washington Nationals, who have been a bit of giant killers in their own right, figuratively and then literally. They sweep the Giants over the weekend at home. So Nats playing a little bit better baseball than some might actually figure, despite the bad record on paper. Gray and the Nats, consensus plus 180 coming back with a total there, Mike, of 9.
Yeah, if I was going to play a side, I would take the Nats. I don't want to lay 200 with this Mets offense ever. But to me, the total is where you want to hone in on here. Senga been pitching very well. You take out that first month of the season, he's had a sub-3 ERA in the other three. We've talked about how tough that is to do in the NL. Senga's one of those guys who's been able to do it. On the other side, you got Josiah Gray, who is one of the better pitchers here for Washington. When Gray or Gore are on the mound for Washington, I'm interested in backing them or backing the under. When you get a Mets offense and you get Senga, I'm looking at the under here. I don't like playing unders full nine innings, specifically because of the rules that are in place for the extra innings. I would much rather hone in on two starters. I think you're going to be able to hold down the offenses here. So I'm going to take the first five under. You can get that at 4.5 or 5, depending on where you shop. So give me first five under 4.5, which is the most readily available. Washington's Nationals Mets tonight in New York.
And I see multiple books as well, Mike. You can find a 5 only at minus 115 juice to the under. Not bad whatsoever. A final game then of the night is in the AL Central, where the Guardians 2 games back of the Twins entering play. Tanner Bibee in Cleveland goes against Dylan Cease and the White Sox on the road. Seeing Cease and the White Sox, they opened overnight as the short favorite, but a lot of money coming in on Cleveland. Mike, sounds like you are on the train here, as it's now minus, I'm seeing minus buck 110, 115 or so consensus there on Cleveland.
As one we talked about on the Lombardi line this morning when I did a hit for them, I like Cleveland quite a bit here. Look, I realize Cease has been pitching well. He's someone that you want to back in a lot of different instances, but this is not one of them to me. We talked about teams' mentality going into the trade deadline. This is a White Sox team that I don't love where their head's going to be at. We saw them get rid of Giolito yesterday. You don't know who's going to be in that locker room 4 days from now. On top of that, they have been severely disappointing throughout this entire season. The Guardians are the better team anyway. So the reason this was even close to a pick'em was because of the pitching matchup. I don't mind BB. I don't mind this Guardians team, specifically against a White Sox team that I don't think is going to come and play their best baseball for the next couple days. So I'll lay the 105. I'll lay the 110 with the Guardians. I think they're the better side. So give me Cleveland tonight.
Sure. Let's do it. You got all bases covered on the rest of the baseball slate. That's it. That's all the action
every game, right?
We have got to. Sure, of course. Thursday, July 27th. What else are we going to do? I guess stay up late and watch Women's World Cup. So U.S. looked really unimpressive last night. They've looked unimpressive through two matches, only beat Vietnam by 3-0 when they were laying 6 or 6.5, depending on the market. A draw with the Netherlands, 1-1 last night. So some doubts now about the U.S. women's national team, and was just pulling up the futures odds, Mike, where the U.S. have been favored here. We'll update you in a second on where they're at now, but there is a play you were looking at. One of these teams cost me some money in the first round. I totally faded the South African women's angle of not getting paid their bonuses and threatening to boycott. And they decided to band together and play Sweden really tough. So I'm kind of upset still at that. But you're looking to attack the South Africa match tonight as they take on Argentina.
Yeah, this is, again, something we've talked about before on the Visa Network here. I'm big fan of unders in the first and the second game of these stage matchups here, because these group matchups, they force you to play a little bit tighter, specifically in the first half. You don't want to give up the first goal. You want to be able to get that point for the tie if that's the case. And we've seen the unders just pile up here. 18-5 so far in the unders in the Women's World Cup. The first half is actually faring even better than that. Tonight, we've got South Africa taking on Argentina. Both of them lost by a goal in the first game. Both of them are not going to want to get down in this second game of the group stages. I think you're going to see a very, very tight defensive battle early. Like I said, you don't want to fall down 1-0 if you're either of these teams in a game where if you don't tie or win, you are out, basically. So sure. I think you're going to see a very close to the vest game from Argentina and South Africa early. Right now, you can get a draw in the first half at minus 110. Some books are offering 0-0 specifically as the price is a draw, and you can get that at plus 105, plus 110. I would take that if available. The under right now is sitting at a half goal / a full goal. So half your bet goes on under a half, half your bet goes on under one, but that's minus 116. I would rather just play the minus 110 as the draw, or find that specifically 0-0 draw and take some plus money there. I think this is 0-0 going to the half.
Yeah, scoring way down at the Women's World Cup so far. I was just checking on the futures board at DraftKings USA Women, plus 275. They remain the favorite, only 25 cents ahead of Spain, who've looked good so far at 3-1, but not inspiring a ton of confidence. Even if you're just looking at the both teams, the score props, and just betting the no, just shorting that every single match, 19 of the first 20 matches, neither team had each score. So you would have cashed the no on the both teams' score prop. Interestingly enough, that did cash two of the three matches last night. But still, Mike, I mean, 20 out of 23, that's not bad at all based on the lack of scoring.
You're going to make some money if you go 20 and three every 23 bets you make, right?
Just a little bit, yeah.
The one thing I will say, I've talked about the unders quite a bit in the first game of a group stage. We've talked about the unders quite a bit here in the second game of the group stage. Watch out on that third game of the group stage, because you're going to have teams that specifically have to win a game, or they have to win by X amount of goals. That's a situation where the games are going to open up quite a bit. In these first games and in the second games where the standings are close, you're going to see tighter early games because you don't want to fall down. In the third game, you're going to see a lot more wide open soccer. I think that's going to lead toward goals. We'll see if Vegas adjusts. You saw adjustments on the total from the first game in the group stage to the second game in the group stage. If they don't adjust back up for the third game in the group stage, you might see a rash of overs later in this group round, specifically because of the necessity to win, or the necessity to win by more than one goal in a lot of these spots.
So, yeah, such a good point you made. You saw it on the Men's World Cup. Remember that third group stage was just – there was a stretch there where you had all sorts of teams on the live table getting knocked out of the knockout rounds. And you just had goals galore. So that is a good thing to keep in mind. U.S., by the way, not officially clinched a spot into the round of 16. They have to beat Portugal. It's U.S. and Netherlands each with 4 points, Portugal on three. So it's get a little bit dicey for the U.S., a lot more close to the vest and tight than they would like, a team that has been used to absolute dominance here in the Women's World Cup. Real quick, I just wanted to throw out the one play I have. This is a futures play I just happened to make today. We're getting ready for our publication of the College Football Betting Guide, Mike, and my final day today on here on Sharp Money. So I did go ahead and play an under on Michigan State to under 5.5. Those numbers are starting to disappear. You can still find a couple of books that have it at minus 165, and I see some shops in the market now down to 5 or even 4.5. So even though it's a good amount of juice to lay, I was totally content doing that with looking at head coach Mel Tucker. The guy was just paid, going back to the end of 2021, 10 years, $95 million to have one of the worst defenses in college football for some reason. He's a defensive guru who has not been able to coach much on the defensive end. And you add on to the spring game where quarterback Peyton Thorne entered the transfer portal after it, as well as the top wide receiver on the team in Keon Coleman. They are now out of East Lansing. I have no idea what to expect out of Noah Kim as a redshirt junior quarterback, but it's a top 10 toughest schedule for Michigan State in 2023, which all adds up to me, Mike, on an under 5.5. So I did go ahead and play that this morning before those 5.5s disappear.
It's amazing how you have to handicap the transfer portal now, and who leaves and who is coming tells you how good that team is and how good the locker room is internally. So I like that look there by looking at, okay, who left Michigan State? Key players probably tells you how good they're going to be this year.
Yeah, the only the two best on the offensive side might be an issue for the Spartans, and he's Lansing amidst a very tough Big Ten in 2023. When we come back, we'll talk some more football, both college, NFL, with Dirk Cutter, who joins us right after this.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Download the DraftKings app today, and new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonuses instantly. Use promo code VSIN when you sign up. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions. Back with Mike Somich. I'm Ben Wilson here from Las Vegas, South Point Sportsbook Studio. We have another guest coming up in about 15 minutes. Thanks again to Dustin Sweetelson. It's working so hard behind the scenes, and we've got Mike Petralia coming up in a little bit here to talk all things Cincinnati Bengals after quarterback Joe Burrow went down with what was called the calf injury from his head coach, Zach Taylor. So we'll talk about that in a little bit, 15 minutes. Right now, though, let's welcome on the longtime college NFL coach in Dirk Cutter, who joins us right now here on Sharp Money. And this is a treat for us, Dirk, because we have Mike, myself, we each went to the Harvard of Boone County, University of Missouri. And for folks, I suggest that folks do just a quick Google search on Google Images. Just type in Dirk Cutter Andy Reid, because it pulls up just an iconic image on the old Mizzou, like the tiger stripe sweatpants you guys used to wear on the coaching staff when you were an OC back in the early 90s. How do you think those sweatpants have aged, Dirk, if you had to give that an assessment?
Yeah, that was when Zubas, they were called, were hot. And I think they'll probably be making a comeback in about 2029.
I think, yeah, Dustin will be leading the charge on those for sure. I have to imagine. But thanks so much for joining us. I wanted to get your thoughts just on a bunch of different topics here around the NFL. And you think about some of the guys you've worked with and where they are at now. Baltimore's just such a fascinating team here in 2023, where they are going to revolutionize the way they look on offense. And you spent time with Todd Monken, now the new offensive coordinator. How do you expect that offense to look with a now healthy and compensated accordingly quarterback in Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, I think it's going to look different for sure. And, you know, Baltimore was already a tremendous running team under Greg Roman, but they just, you know, they needed to update their passing game, and Monk will definitely do that for them. And I'm excited to watch the Ravens this year. You know, Lamar Jackson's been a quarterback that's been trying to prove himself that he was a quarterback, not just an athlete playing quarterback. He's been trying to prove it for a long time. So I know he's got to be excited about the addition of Todd Monken. And, you know, they're not going to forget how to run the football, but Monk's going to add to their screen game. He's going to add to their play action game, and he's definitely going to add to their dropback game.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what Todd Monken can do there in Baltimore, specifically with the play action. I think that's going to be a huge part for Lamar Jackson here coming up in the next season. Another quarterback we talked quite a bit about here so far today has been Russell Wilson, and specifically what Sean Payton said about that previous coaching staff in Denver. You've been a head coach before. Were you surprised he came out as aggressively as he did against Nathaniel Hackett, against what was going on inside that Denver Broncos organization last year as he prepares for this year and then the season with the Broncos?
Yeah, I was surprised. You know, Sean Payton doesn't have to prove anything to anybody. I mean, I've coached against Sean many, many times, and he's a heck of a coach. My guess is that he had an ulterior motive there to basically throw some of the attention away from Russell Wilson and on to the previous coaching staff. I think Coach Payton's pretty cagey in how he deals with the media. I think he sort of crossed the line, but I'm sure he was doing it in a way that he thinks is going to benefit his team long term.
Sure. When you think about what he's dealing with at quarterback and Russell Wilson coming off the worst season of his career, for someone like yourself, you spent so many years on the offensive side of the ball. How would you be approaching a guy like Wilson who might have some juice left in the tank but was objectively bad in 2022?
Yeah, they were bad. The Broncos were bad last year on offense. So, you know, I don't think – Sean Payton had options on jobs, so I don't think he would have taken that job if he didn't think Russell Wilson could get back to play closer to the way he did in Seattle. I mean, the Russell Wilson that I knew in Seattle that I watched a lot of tape on was almost impossible to sack, and I thought he threw a really good deep ball. You know, Coach Payton's always been a guy that wants to run the ball, play action, and get the ball out of the quarterback's hands quick. It'll be interesting to see. And, you know, if we're for all of us that aren't there watching it every day and watching them in OTAs and now watching them in training camp, you know, we're not going to know for a while. But, heck, I'd like to be a fly on the wall the week they play the Jets in week four.
Yeah. Well, moving on to the Jets here, let's talk a little about Aaron Rodgers, who's joining a new organization after being with the Packers for his entire career. This is an older quarterback coming in, taking on what's a pretty good offense around him. How do you think that transition is going to go? Is there going to be some growing pains early in the season here? Or do you think the Jets hit the ground running on the offensive side of the ball?
I think they will hit the ground running because the fact that Rodgers showed up for all the offseason stuff, the fact that, you know, he's got Hackett there with him, who he's got familiarity with him, and I'm sure they're giving Aaron Rodgers a lot of leeway as far as installing the system. And all you have to do is listen to the reports that have come out, and they say, you know, Rodgers is in all the position meetings and he's talking to all the guys. I think sometimes these veteran quarterbacks get a little bored and things can get a little stale. I mean, they've made all the money they need to. He's won MVPs. He's won a Super Bowl. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be refreshed. He's got a lot of good young players around him, and I think it's going to be fun to watch that. At AFC East, I think that's going to be a real fun division to keep an eye on.
And speaking of refresh, Dirk, I think about a team that has a refreshment around it for a completely different reason. That's the Washington Commanders with the sale now of owner Daniel Snyder, and somebody you'd worked with is Jack Del Rio. Back when you were together in Jacksonville, he's the DC now, and you think about it, so where Washington is at, not very high expectations, but what do you view to be just the, you know, the optimistic look and the viewpoint for how Ron Rivera's team will show up on the field in 2023, considering that circus off the field seems to be behind them in general?
Yeah, that will be interesting to see, you know, how much of an effect that has on everybody. You know, I think that will affect more people that work in the building more so than the players, but that's just my opinion. I think the players and the coaches pretty much go about their day-to-day business. Jack Del Rio, Ron Rivera, coach for Jack, coached against Coach Rivera many times. We were in the same division when I was in Atlanta and Tampa and he was in Carolina. Nate Katzer, the special teams coach, I worked with him in both Jacksonville and Tampa. I think the biggest issue for the Redskins is
I know Dirk is on the lake right now, so we'll have to get a connection there with Dirk Cutter, who joins us right now on Sharp Money. But the point, and you know, it's been great insight to have Mike, just simply because of all the different people Dirk has worked in, both in the college and NFL game. Because I think it's an interesting case study for this Washington team, right? The expectations are not high, the roster does not look very good, but like, how much do we really weigh the weight of the shoulders being off now that Daniel Snyder is no longer the owner? I think that's a valid question to ask, right?
Yeah, it's got to be tough. If you're an organization here who's trying to move on from this, and it's something that's been hanging over this organization's head for a while, it's how do you respond to that? And are they going to be able to just play more free because you don't have to worry about that Dan Snyder issue right out of the gate?
Sure. We have Dirk back from the lake, so we're working on the connection. Dirk, thanks so much though for staying patient and being back with us. Just wanted to let you finish the point you're making on Washington.
Yeah, I think they've got a really good coaching staff, and you know they've been a good defensive team. I mean, I think just their question mark is going to be the quarterback. You know, is Sam Howell? You know, is he really the guy that can win games for them? Just unproven. I mean, maybe he can, but just compared to the other teams in their division, you know, they've got the most unproven quarterback, and that's just a tough situation to be in.
And now, Dirk, we've had two quarterbacks that really jumped out to me last year in the market improvement that you saw from them. Geno Smith up in Seattle, Jared Goff up in Detroit. Both had career years. Which one do you think is more likely to have that, to be able to repeat that success this year with the offenses surrounding them?
Boy, that's a good question. And I don't want to slight either one of those guys, but I'm going to say off the top of my head, just people seem to be a little bit more excited about what the Lions are doing. And I think Jared Goff's playing with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. I'm sure Geno is too. But I think Seattle wants to run the ball and play defense under Pete Carroll, where I think Detroit, you know, they're going to be a little bit more wide open and let Goff influence the game. They still want to try to run the ball. They've got a good one-two punch at running back. But I think both of those guys, I mean, it was awesome to see those guys who had maybe in some people's eyes gone backwards in their career have a nice resurgence last year. And, you know, there's so many hardworking guys in the NFL that are just waiting for the right chance, the right opportunity with the right coach and the right system. So that was fun to watch those guys last year.
Yeah, no question. Really excited to see how that will translate into 2023. Dirk Cutter, kind enough to give us some time today on VSiN Sharp Money, the longtime NFL and college coach. Dirk, thank you so much for the time. Great to have a few Mizzou guys. I know, you know, you bleed black and gold at heart, Dirk. So great to have you on. Thanks so much.
I bleed a lot of colors, but I hope the Tigers do well this year. You guys, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. And, yeah, special shout-out to Dirk's daughter, Kaylee, who is taking over. She is the first-year head coach Wyoming women's volleyball team. So great. Looking forward to seeing how the Cowgirls do in the Mountain West this year. So congratulations to Kaylee. Really excited to having known her for a few years, Mike, to see how they do up in Laramie. All right, when we return, time to talk more Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Mike Petraglia will join us to give us the latest from Bengals camp.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NFL betting guide is out now, and our college football guide drops next week. Get previews and predictions for every Division I team and conference, best bets on futures and season win totals, plus an in-depth breakdown of how you can use our betting splits and power rankings to make you a smarter better this season. Sign up before the end of July and receive both guides and full VSiN Pro access all the way through the Super Bowl at an early bird discount of $175, or sign up on a monthly subscription and get your first 30 days for only $19 to see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Remember, this offer ends July 31st, so don't miss out on these preseason deals. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe to take advantage of these special offers and become part of the Sports Betting Network. All right, we really appreciate Mike Petralia taking a couple of minutes for us on such short notice here, Mike, as we're back for the final time with the injury suffered by quarterback Joe Burrow in training camp earlier today. Mike is there covering the team and on site right now. Mike, thanks so much for joining us. What can you tell us about the latest there from Bengals camp?
Well, Joe Burrow is undergoing examination right now. It's expected that he will have an MRI on his lower right leg. We think and believe that it is some type of calf issue. He had a compression neoprene sleeve on his calf. Heading into practice today, it was very hot and humid, 94 degrees and sunny here today before Bengals practice. So we all noticed the sleeve on his right calf before practice, and then he stepped up in the pocket on a pass play about 90 minutes into practice, went off to his right, took about two steps, and pulled up. And he went right pretty much to the ground holding his right calf, but we don't know if it's his calf or if it's something else in his lower right leg. We don't even know really if it's his lower leg, but it is definitely something in his right leg. We know that. For sure, Zach Taylor coming off the field intimated that it was something having to do with his calf, but he did not use the word strain or sprain or tear or anything like that in his diagnosis.
Thanks for jumping on with us quickly here, Mike. Really appreciate it. You mentioned the compression there on his lower leg going into the day. Had there been anything that we heard prior to today that there were any issues with that lower right leg, or is this something that's new here?
Something relatively new. Zach was asked that after practice, and he said no, it's just something that he felt comfortable with going into today, and obviously there was some issue with that calf or lower right leg, or he wouldn't have the sleeve on it. So, you know, the details here at this point, as you might imagine, are very limited. Team hasn't said anything beyond what Zach Taylor said. It was interesting. We did go in the locker room after practice today, talked to Sam Hubbard, who suffered a calf injury last year, missed 2 weeks in December, but was able to come back. He said, you just have to take your time with it. Now, with Sam Hubbard's calf injury, he actually stepped on someone's foot, so it was an impact injury, so to speak. This was not that. It was Joe Burrow running along, and all of a sudden, like, you pull up lame, you know, you pull a hamstring, you know, everybody does that in their backyard or playing tennis or what have you. You know, it's one of those typical injuries that a weekend warrior would suffer. That's what it looked like with Joe Burrow going down to the ground. Also, Ja'Marr Chase and Ted Karras saw it happen. Ted Karras wanted to sound the most optimistic tone, saying he'll be okay. It's just a calf strain. He thinks it's probably just a calf strain, and that Joe Burrow's a pretty tough guy, and he'll be able to come back from this pretty quickly.
Yeah, Mike Petralia joining us right now here on VSiN Sharp Money. Covers the Bengals here. I'm on the Jungle Roar podcast as well. One real quick question before we let you go. As far as we saw the sound from Zach Taylor addressing the media as a head coach, what did you make of his apparent, you know, the lack of a concern, at least on his face, from when he was asking those first questions?
You know, it's really hard for me to read Zach Taylor simply because he's always got a smile on his face,
sure,
even when things are not going ideally for him. He, you know, even has kind of a smile on his face even after losses. So it's hard until Zach Taylor knows specifically what he's dealing with. I think he was careful after practice today not to sound any alarms, not to, you know, look concerned. And certainly if you're the head coach of a team like the Bengals, you do not want to project concern or worry. And he did neither. And I think that's kind of why you saw him calm, had a smile on his face, you know, and tried to project the most confidence that he could in a situation where he just doesn't know what, you know, how long he may be without his franchise quarterback.
Yeah, certainly makes a lot of sense there. Mike Petralia, really kind enough to give us some time on super short notice there from Bengals camp. Mike, really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Yeah, he does the outstanding job on the Jungle Roar podcast. They're covering the Bengals. Follow him at Trags, T-R-A-G-S. And certainly hoping for the best on Joe Burrow. Again, the report's a right calf injury, the severity of which has not yet been determined, as we're expecting that MRI testing to happen, Mike. And, yeah, now we wait and see how the betting market reacts. Most shops taking the Bengals win total off the board in other futures. The only one that has reposted it, DraftKings dropped Cincinnati a full win down to 10.5.
Yeah, it's always interesting here as more and more of these training camps get into full swing, what injuries you're going to have, because that's obviously going to affect a lot of these futures and how these teams do down the road. So two of them today, Joe Burrow and Jalen Ramsey, we're waiting to hear on what the severity of both of those are going to be. But it's one of those reasons why it can be tough sometimes putting in future bets really early in the football preseason time frame, because you're just not sure who you're going to end up with on the field once week one
hits.
Sure.
It only takes one to get burned by it. I remember betting Denver, and it was a 2020, I think, coming out of COVID, and where Von Miller goes down, what, a couple weeks before the start of the year, and you go, had I just waited to make that bet, I would have at least, A, I would not have done it, and B, I would have at least gotten a better number. So always a good idea in general. Dustin, you said you had a million tabs open. I mean, I guess it makes sense because it's been a big breaking news day.
I don't even know what some of these are. So first, what was the? Do you have that written down? The Zach Neto stat that you had?
Oh wait,
the Angels' record with their young shortstop versus the record without him.
The Angels are 34-25 with Zach Neto, 18-24 without, and that was like a featured segment on the Angels' pre-post game show today.
So I heard you say that, and I saw it on the TV. So I was like, let me look up his stats. Maybe he's having a better year than I thought. Well, he's got a 1.8 WAR with a 252 average, 8 homers, 27 ribbies, 5 steals, and a 760 OPS. He couldn't be more just a middle-of-the-road average player at the moment.
Got to lock him up for 10 years if you're getting those wins, though.
Hey, but you know what? But Bobby Valentine sold that segment on Bally Sports West. So I give a lot of credit to Bobby. He handled that well. Look, if you're working for one of the teams and you have a doubleheader, Dustin, that's not easy. You got hashtag content. You need it.
So speaking of content, Jacob deGrom, you mentioned him winning the Cy Young back in 2018. He actually had a winning record. He was 10-9, not 9-9.
Okay.
He did get that one last win.
What was his ERA that year?
It was 1.70.
Wow. And I thought, I was like, 2.20. Maybe am I being too generous? Yeah, it was even better than
1.70. In fact, his worst ERA was 2017. He had a 3.53 ERA, which would be lower than Spencer Strider right now. So. Just pointing that out.
I've had Jacob deGrom in a keeper league, dynasty fantasy baseball league, since 2015. Finally dropped him after his latest injury this year. Finally out.
Rest in peace, my sweet prince. Speaking of the Angels, we were looking up. I mentioned that they should trade every prospect they have. Scott Miller on the show earlier at 4 Eastern mentioned Logan Ohapi, who's been out for the season. He's their number one prospect coming into the season. Zach Neto was number two. Edgar Cuero was number three, but I believe he may have been traded. Was he in the trade last night for Lucas Giolito?
Yes, I believe. Yes, he did go to White Sox. Edgar Cuero is how you pronounce Cuero. His name. Yes.
So outside of that, I don't know who any of these other people are on this top prospect list.
So cupboards are getting pretty bare already, and for the Angels here, if they want to make any more moves.
Yeah. Yes.
Although anytime people talk about the whole, the top prospects and you can't give up this guy, I always just go back to Matt LaPorta. That's the only name you need to
Matt say. Matt LaPorta, Brewer and Guardian great first baseman.
I mean, he was great for the Brewers in the sense that they got CeCe Sabathia for him, and Sabathia should have won the Cy Young on 17 starts in 2008. But
see, that era, there was a player for me similar to Matt LaPorta. I believe they were prospects at the same time, and he was actually an Angels top prospect that I swore was going to hit 50 home runs in the major leagues. I don't know if either of you remember this name, Dallas McPherson.
Yes. MVP baseball 2005.
I thought Dallas McPherson was the next 50 home run guy. I swear to you.
Didn't he end up going on? He was with the Rangers for a while after that, I think.
He bounced around everywhere. He was a good minor league hitter, but never put it together in the majors. I mean, yeah. Oh my God. He only played 5 seasons in the majors, and only one of them was, none of them were a full season. 61 games in 05.
Marlins, Giants, A's, White Sox, Pirates, Dodgers. And I probably just thought he played for the Rangers because his name.
Did he hit 50 for his career, Dustin?
That's a good question. Let's look.
18.
18.
Oh, just short. Just short.
Yeah, he just needed one hot streak, Dustin. He would have got there. That's for sure. Mike, it's been a blast hanging out with you, man, for the last 3 hours. True pleasure. I look forward to the next time we are together here on air.
You as well, Ben. It was a lot of fun. Time flew. That's always a good sign, right?
Absolutely. Fast 3-hour show today here on Sharp Money. As we say so long for Mike Somich, for Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Ben Wilson. That wraps up today's edition of Sharp Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We hand it over to the guys at VSiN Primetime down at Circa right after this.